Yesterday, we started speaking about the Cyber Academy, right? So you know that they sponsor the COVID report.
Yes.
But it got me interested as well in this whole hacking business.
Mm-hmm.
So I've asked them to put me in contact with a hacker.
Oh, okay.
Yes. 712. A very, very good morning, Rudy Dix. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excellent. And yourself?
I hope you were doing some movements to that song, were you? You weren't.
No, no, but I did feel like you spoke to me when you were talking about the bad dancers.
Yeah, as you're speaking to me. I don't know. I just have never had, you know what I think it is? Dancers, it comes from something inside you. Like, I've got a son, an 18-year-old, who feels music from inside, and he can dance, and I just don't understand it. I'm empty. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just full of, never mind. All right. Rudy Dix, technical director at Cyber Academy. Good morning. What is social? What is social engineering? Because we're starting to hear this more and more, and everybody's warning us that we could be exploited through social engineering. And I always nod like I know what they're talking about, but I really don't. So what is social engineering?
So a certain type of attacker is exceptionally good at manipulating people. They will use techniques that make users do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do, or worse, do things that are bad for them without the user actually understanding that the thing that they're doing is bad. Obvious example of this would be clicking on a link, impersonating somebody that they think they know, or an email that they think they're expecting. It comes from somebody slightly different, and it's actually an attack. And in the worst of these examples, it leads to full compromise of their machine, and gives the attacker full access. That's a big part of what we're trying to prevent at the Cyber Academy, which, as I'm sure you know by now, is a training institute specifically focused on educating end users and staff around cyber attacks and the different techniques that the bad guys use.
So, Rudy, are you saying that all of those beautiful women that are befriending me on Facebook aren't really interested in me?
One of them might actually be me. I've got a whole bunch of accounts set up. Generally a pretty lady, often in a bikini or a skimpy outfit. And I'll often reach out to the guys in the office, because for some reason the guys cannot resist an invite from a beautiful girl on social media.
So it's so funny. I'm exactly the opposite. The minute I see a beautiful woman in a bikini trying to befriend me, I say, who are you kidding?
That's
delete.
Probably wiser. I wish everybody was like that. But a lot of the guys, unfortunately, especially the guys, want to show that they're a man about town. They know things that they're not supposed to know, definitely things that they're not supposed to tell people outside of the business, and it's pretty easy for attackers to manipulate those people into doing things that they wouldn't ordinarily do.
But let's just follow that. Let's just assume that I accept an invitation either on one of the social media platforms for this magnificent looking woman in a bikini. What is the end game here? Where does that go?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that these things play out. Generally, what we'd be doing is trying to look for some access that we're not supposed to have. You'll have seen, especially on Facebook, many of these questionnaires where you get asked, who are you the most like? Which friend character are you most like? Lots of different shows, and then they'll start asking you 20 questions or 30 questions to ask, to try and figure out which of these characters you are. A lot of those things are set up by attackers as well, and actually paid for advertising so that they can try and harvest some information about you, which hopefully they can use to answer some of your secret questions, to reset your password or things like that.
Zanati, are you hearing this?
I am. So I've actually been, a lot of people on Instagram have been reporting that, you know, their accounts have been hacked and the hackers have been trying to sell back their accounts to them. What is that business all about?
Yeah, that's not as common or as profitable, but what they'll do is especially on Instagram, people have spent a lot of time and effort cultivating those accounts, getting those followers, building a following. And then when they get locked out and the password get changed, the guys are sometimes a little bit slow, or the bureaucracy is pretty big in trying to get it back. They're hoping it's easier that you just pay them a couple of bucks to get it back, which is definitely not something you should ever do, because you're just letting them run a business, right? You're making it profitable for them. So you want to avoid that, but rather do go through the correct channels and get your account back that way. But that's significantly less harmful than some of the things we've seen where you will manipulate you into giving up your username and your password, and then very likely you're using the same passwords on lots of different accounts. So you'll just be able to log into your other accounts and maybe look at your emails, look at your work information and see things they're not supposed to see. They always send an email to one of your colleagues as you infecting them and spreading through your organization like that.
Right. I'm always skeptical when people on Facebook say, I've been hacked. I think rubbish. You're just lazy. You've used a public computer and you haven't logged out of your Facebook. Are people actually being hacked?
Yeah, it could be that, but it is very common for people to get hacked on Facebook. Again, it's not so hard. Unfortunately, a lot of people, because they reuse their passwords and some of those passwords get leaked out, it's as simple as the attack is to get a list of all the leaked passwords and then just try those passwords on Facebook for those people and log into their accounts. What we do see on Facebook a lot as well is where they duplicate the account, they use the same picture and they start inviting the people's friends as well, saying, listen, I got locked out of my own account or it got hacked, just accept this new invite from me. And it's not obviously actually that person. And then they'll wait a little bit. And for example, they'll ask you to loan a little bit of money. Look, it's going really bad at the moment. Please don't tell anyone, but can you loan me a couple of bucks? When the friend eventually asks for the money back 2-3 months from now, the actual victim has never heard of this. And it wasn't them that asked for the money, and it's cleared into a different account.
Right. The other phrase that I keep hearing is pen testing. What is that?
Yeah, so that's where I mostly spend my time. I probably have one of the best jobs on earth. People actually pay me to fly all over the world and break into their systems, and then they pay me money for it. We use the same tools and techniques that a real bad guy would use to try and assess and identify the vulnerabilities around a business and help that company shore up the security. And that's called penetration testing. That's where I spend most of my time. It really is a very, very fun job. If you told me as an 18-year-old that people would actually pay me to hack into their systems, I wouldn't have believed you.
Incredible. Incredible. So you basically will go, you'll be contracted by any company, a bank or any company, but try and determine what the vulnerabilities are, in that particular environment.
Yeah, it's actually how the Cyber Academy got started. I do a lot of these engagements, and unfortunately, I'm almost always successful, at least somewhat. So it's rare that we don't get at least some information we're not supposed to. When the IT team are doing a really good job, when they're really securing your systems adequately, more than adequately, what we'll just do is turn on the users and try and fish them and manipulate them and phone them, like we said, social engineer them. And that will almost always yield some sort of success. So because we are always successful with users, and we've dealt with clients in the past that were very frustrated because they'd spent enormous amounts of time and energy and money securing their systems, only to be the problem is the user at the end of the day, and there's nothing that the IT team or the security team can do to prevent that. They wanted to know, how can we protect our users? How can we shore up this component of our strategy? And training is really the only way that you can do that, educating those users that these things are possible and what to look out for, and give them examples and empower them to see and prevent those attacks. And it was so popular, the training component, that we formalized it into a company.
Incredible. You know, it's interesting to me. I just read, I don't know if you've read Malcolm Gladwell's new book called Talking to Strangers. It would be quite interesting if you haven't for somebody like you to read it, because he talks about why we land up getting taken in or conned by people, and he goes through various examples. The book, I won't say that it comes together perfectly, it didn't for me, but there were parts of the book that were very, very interesting. And one of the conclusions that he reaches, and he speaks about Madoff, and he speaks about that whole scam, and he shows how the person that actually saw what was going on became a complete completely paranoid, and he couldn't function. He couldn't live his normal life. And the conclusion in some ways is that we have to be vigilant and not trust everything, but if we go too overboard, we almost can't function, because we need to believe in the goodness of, or the integrity of, a system. In other words, if I didn't believe that, if I thought that every person on Facebook was a hacker or a scam in some way, I couldn't be on Facebook. Facebook collapses. And that goes to some extent to every part of our social media interaction, our online interaction. How do you balance that? Because your job is to be skeptical about everything, but you still want to function, and you still want your customers to function in society and on social media.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big fan of all of Matt Gladwell's books, and the Bernie Madoff story, obviously. But security professionals are by nature often very, very paranoid. I'm sure it's true for every profession, where the more you get exposed to something, the more paranoid maybe you get about it. But that shouldn't be the case for most users. I'm saying if we spend our whole day investigating these attacks and seeing the trends and things like that, and a lot of very few security professionals won't have some sort of sticker over their camera to prevent a bad guy from turning it on and looking at them. But for most of it doesn't need to go that far for most users. You can, as long as you are empowered enough, as long as you understand what these attacks look like, what these guys are after, what they're trying to do, all we're trying to do is have you identify those attacks when they do occur and say, I know what's happening here. I'm not going to click on the link. I'm not going to type in my password. That's all we want. It doesn't need to go overboard.
And to some extent, the other part of what you're doing, as you say, which is that whole penetration testing story, is really to test the integrity of the system. Is how secure is your system? Are there any gaping holes that somebody could use to their advantage? So that's got nothing to do with really trust. That's really about design.
Yeah. So cybersecurity is a very big field, and what we're really focused on, as far as the users or the end consumers are concerned, is the social engineering side, because you didn't want to get down into the nuts and the bolts of what can go wrong. A penetration test is like asking an ex-burglar to where would you break into my house? Where is the weak point? What would you shore up if you had to fix something here? And it's the same thing. As long as we understand how these guys think and how they operate, it makes it much easier for us to identify that one little hole that maybe was overlooked inside an organization's posture.
So what do we look out for?
Oh, there's many different things, but mostly common sense, I think, is the big thing. Educate yourself. There's a lot of valuable information.
So if you're a 50-year-old, short, overweight, bald guy, that woman in the bikini really isn't befriending you because she's intrigued by you.
Exactly. Oftentimes you can tell something's a little bit off. It just feels a little bit wrong. You get really bad scams. It's gotten so common now that it's got its own terminology. You have attackers, especially from Eastern Europe, spending a lot of time focusing on widows, especially wealthy people. And what they'll do is they'll start these online relationships with the people, months of their time invested, spending, talking to them every night, flirting with them, starting online relationships with them. After 3 or 4 months of this, they'll say something like, "My child was hit by a car this morning. I don't have enough money to pay for the operation. There's nothing I can do." And then the person getting scammed will offer up this money, and at that point, that person from the other country will disappear. It's getting so common now, it's actually got its own term called catfishing. Yeah. So you really want to be careful of things like that. People aren't necessarily who you think they are. If you think you're talking to that pretty girl in the bikini, you might well be talking to me.
Which is just so depressing. So Rudy, how do we get hold of you, or how do we find out more about what you do?
So the Cyber Academy, again, is a training company specifically aimed at corporates, trying to educate all of the staff. We have a online platform that people can go through a 5-6 hour course, learning all about the ins and outs of cybersecurity and get certified around that. We also do in class, in person training, where we educate the staff in the room, show them some of the tools and techniques. We work with the technical teams as well to help them get better at what they do. So I highly recommend, if you're interested in this service, you just jump onto our website, which is thecyberacademy.co.za.
Absolutely fantastic. Technical Director at Cyber Academy, Rudy Dix. Thank you for taking the time to chat to us. It is 7:27. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.